Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, are you saying amen or oh me this morning? You do know that your response to these things will be the results that you get back. Amen. You know, I learned a long time ago that we are citizens. Thank you, honey. We are citizens of the kingdom of God now, right? So that means that we have a kingdom where a king dominates. There's been laws that have been passed and laws that have been spoken into existence that we are to live by now. Amen? And so when we understand, we've studied when we were in school, we studied government, we studied all those kingdoms. It's voice activated. Voice activated. You know, just like when you go in your car, now we have this hands-free calling, and all we have to do is hit that little button. It'll go, who do you want to call? And you just say, call. I say a lot of times, call Connie on mobile, and the phone starts ringing, right? Well, because that particular feature in my car is voice activated. Well, you see, a lot of Christians are sitting at home waiting for God to do something, but he really can't do anything until you activate the kingdom with your voice. Let me go say that on this side. Until you activate the kingdom with your voice. And so many times people have, you know, you go to churches and this is sermon number one. I don't know why I'm on this, but let me roll with it. Is that all right? But many times you go to churches and people will submit an unspoken request. And I remember my wife was a little Baptist girl when I met her. And we were in a service one time, and someone raised their hand and said, I have an unspoken request. Well, she elbowed me in the ribs. She said, what is that? I said, it's one that doesn't get answered. Let me go say that on this side. It's one that doesn't get answered. Why? Because we didn't voice activate the kingdom. And so many times we have to understand that we need to voice the commands like we do in our cars. We have to voice things, and the Lord is always going to respond according to your response. Amen? So if you say nothing, you get. Amen? So if you sit at home and, well, I hope the Lord will do this, or I wish the Lord would do this, or it would be nice for the Lord to do this. And all those things are true. But we cannot sit at home and hope. We must put our voice into this. And we must speak these things out of our mouth. I don't know why God set the system up like that. I have no idea why he did that. But that's why he did. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. So when you get into a place where people call you one of those blabbit and grabbits, all you have to do is say, well, I'm just imitating my daddy. My daddy blabbed it and he grabbed it. He named it and he claimed it. Amen. So then he did that and he left us an example to follow. We must blab it to grab it and name it to claim it. Amen. Now, let me go one step farther. Now, once again, I don't know why I'm here, but here I am. Once again, let me say this to you. You can't do that just because a preacher told you to do it. And you see, if you do that because a preacher told you to do it, you're operating off of his revelation. You see, it's the preacher's job to tell you, but it's your job to go home and make that yours. Yes, a preacher told me that, but I'm going to make this mine. And when you make it yours and you begin to operate on that, then you begin to operate on your revelation. It becomes your revelation. It becomes your powerful revelation. It becomes the revelation in your life that will exalt you above measure. Amen. I got some things I need to say. I went right into preaching. Have to forgive me. We're so happy to be here. I'm always happy to be at Life Point Church. Pastor Marvin allowed me to come here many years ago, and we have enjoyed coming here ever since. We love this precious group, and we know today that I can say things to you that I may not be able to say in other churches because they just haven't been fortunate enough. Nothing against them, but they just have not been fortunate enough to be taught some things that we have been taught. So we're going to dig today. Is that all right? We're going to get in here. We're going to dig us up some nuggets today that's going to help you be exalted above measure in your life. I love Pastor Matt and Sister Kat. I mean, what a great pastor combination you have here. You don't realize how blessed you are to have a pastor that has committed himself and herself to preaching the uncompromised word of the living God. I don't care. You can have all the programs, and I love programs. You can have all that. But if your church is not built upon the foundation of the uncompromised word of God, when trouble comes, that foundation will crumble. But if you're built on that foundation, trouble comes. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But then he said, but. I learned that when he butts in, it's always a good thing, right? The word but means the information prior is no longer relevant. You may have tribulation, but you be of good cheer. You turn that frowny face upside down because I've already overcome everything that you're dealing with. And because I've done that, that victory now is yours if you learn how to voice activate it. In other words, if we do what Jesus did, then we should get the results Jesus got. Well, see, that's what we're going for, precious people, the results that Jesus got. Hallelujah. But I'm so proud to be here. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for letting us come last night. Always enjoy the fellowship. We had a great time at the hotel out there, and it was just good food, good fellowship, and it was just good to be here. And we always jump at the chance to come here. I've come to work very hard for him today because I want you to go out and I want you to feel like that you can grab a corn stalk, swing out over hell, and spit right in the devil's eye when we leave here today. Amen? That's what we're going for today. Praise God. I want to talk to you about something that the Lord began to deal with me about several months ago. I was in my office minding my own business, and the Lord spoke to me. And when I say this, I want everybody to know that he's never spoke to me audibly. In fact, the major way that the Lord will ever speak to any of us is through his word. You know, I have people, they walk around, do you have a word for me? Do you have a word for me? Yes, I do. Well, what is it? It's Genesis to the maps. That's the word that I have for you because that's mainly the way God will speak to you. But I'm minding my own business, sitting at my desk. This came up just out of the blue. Tell my people that I will be as big in their life as their faith allows me to be. Let me go over here a minute. Let me go talk about that one more time. He said, tell my people that I will be as big in their lives as their faith allows me to be. All right? Now, go with me, if you would, to Mark the 4th chapter. And let's start right here. I will be as big in your life as your faith will allow me to be. Isn't that amazing that it's up to us how big God is in our lives? Isn't it amazing that God will sit by and let you go through life on your own, doing what you want to do and doing it in your idea of how it should be done? He will sit right there and let you do that. And he will not rain fire out of heaven on you because you didn't ask him what he wanted. And he will let you do that. But how many people know that you've been out of the will of God, you haven't listened to what the Lord said? How'd that work for you? Not real good, was it? So then, we need to understand that God wants to be as big as he is in your life. Where did I say go? Thank you. Mark 4, and let's look in verse 20 there. Mark 4, verse 20. And then we want to go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Is that all right? Hallelujah. You're on holy ground when you get to Mark 4. Take your shoes off. Mark 4. I know it's in here. It's right beside 5. Mark 4, verse 20. Now, you've been taught well here. You've all been taught the parable of the sower. Is that correct? You know all about the 4 types of soil. Okay, so let's just not talk about the other 3. Let's go to the good one, okay? Verse 20. And these are they. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. These are they which are sown on good ground. Say this. Let's voice activate this. Heavenly Father, speak with me. Heavenly Father, I believe I am good ground. My desire is to be good ground. Now, what is that? Okay, that's what. Such as hear the word. Now, would you agree with me right now that most places in Mattoon, that's how you say that, right? Mattoon. I went to Miami, Oklahoma. They corrected me very quickly. It's Miami. So I want to make sure. Mattoon. Is that right? All right. Would you agree with me right now that most of the churches in Mattoon right now are hearing the word in some way or the other? All right. Watch this. Such as hear the word and receive it. Oh, Lord Jesus. We could preach a week on this right here. It doesn't matter how much word you hear. It matters how much word you receive. You remember Jesus said this a lot. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That I couldn't wrap my mind around that for a long time. I didn't understand what he was talking about. But I realized that there's 2 kinds of ears. There's ears that hear, and then there's ears that want to hear. There's ears that know I need to hear. In other words, I've come to the place with the Word of God that I got to have it. I've realized in my life that my life will only be as successful as the Word of God that I'm operating on. Not just the Word of God that I've heard, but the Word of God that I'm operating on. The Word of God that I have received. Now, I don't know whose football team y'all are fans of. I guess the Fighting Illini, Illinois. I guess y'all are Bears fans here, right? Okay, well, what do you, one thing I had, when I saw that, the Lord just kind of showed me this. He, when a wide receiver runs a route and the quarterback throws the ball to that receiver, the first thing he does is he catches it with 2 hands. Well, he, most of the time, catches it with 2 hands. If you leave it there, somebody's going to hit you and that ball's going to go loose. But if you receive it, and you tuck it under your arm. You put a grip on it. It doesn't matter how many times Satan hits you. It doesn't matter how many times life hits you. You'll never let the ball go because you have heard it and you have received it. And the next thing that receiver does is he runs with it. Well, you see, that's exactly what he's talking about, good ground. We hear the word, but we didn't just want to hear it. And then I love to go to churches and I ask people, what'd your pastor preach on last Sunday? They look at you like, he preached on the Bible. Yeah, I know. I know he preached on the Bible, but what did he say about the Bible? Well, he preached on Jesus. I know he preached on Jesus, but what did he say about Jesus? Well, you see, they had it, but they got hit when they walked out the door. And when they walked out the door, they got hit. And all of a sudden, their minds was off of what they had heard. They dropped it. And they went with the focus on the hit. See, you can't focus on the hit. You got to focus on the word. So it says, these are they that hear the word and receive it. And bring forth fruit. Well, look at this now. Some 30, some 60, but some 100. So that gives us 3 levels here that we can operate in the things of God. We can operate at 30, 60, or 100. But God wants to be as big in our lives as our faith allows Him to be. You do know that God did not want to stop raising the dead. You do know that if God did that in the beginning And Jesus did it, and Paul did it, and Peter did it, Elijah did it, Elisha did it. You do realize that God still has that on the table. He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to raise the dead, but after a period of time, somewhere around 2020, I'm going to stop doing that. Well, then what are we going to do with the word that says, I am God and I change not? Well, what are we going to do with James 1:17 where it says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So then if he's not one that has variable, he doesn't vary and he didn't turn, then God wants to be just as big in our lives as he was in the word that we're reading. So then, nothing that God has in his hand has been taken off the table. We've just got people operating at 30. You know what 30 is? That's saved. That's saved. But nothing else. Now, we get saved and then we're told, you do the best you can for the rest of your life. But when you finally get to heaven, you'll get the blessings that the word promises you. Well, if that's the truth, go with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Then we'll get to Ephesians here in just a moment. Go with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. I think it's about the 10th verse. Are y'all doing all right? God wants to be as big in your life as he was to the children of Israel when he parted the Red Sea. God's still able to part the Red Sea. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and let's just start in verse 9. I'm sorry. Jesus, this is in red now, and I know people say this was an old covenant prayer, but I'm going to say one thing. I found out if you pray what's in red, you'll still get results. And it is kind of an old covenant prayer. It's been fulfilled, but it bears witness here. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray thee, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All right? In other words, we don't just go to him every time we pray and say, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. We don't go to him and say, bless me, my son John, his wife, my wife, us four and no more. In other words, when we go to God, let's go to him in an attitude of worship. Just like Pastor Matt led us today. He exhorted us today. He showed us how to go before the Lord. Just like that. And then he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? Well, then I thought we couldn't get that till we finally get to heaven. I thought that only in heaven would we get that. Well, let me ask you this. His kingdom come, his will be done. Is it his will to bless us? Is it his will to save us? Is it his will to fill us with the Holy Ghost? Is it his will to heal us? Is it his will to raise us up and cause us to be successful and cause everything we put our hand to prosper? Well, then it says, let us pray this way. In other words, what do we say? This is voice activated. He said, let us pray every morning. And listen, this should be a prayer. I realize that this may be an old covenant prayer. But even in the old covenant, whether it's old covenant or not, I want his will to be done in our lives. I want his kingdom to be visible at our house, in our lives. And I don't want to wait till I get to heaven for this. I want it right here. Say this with me out of your mouth. Right here, right now. I'm going to have it right here, right now. Now, let me stop and get back in the middle of the road. Heaven is going to be better. This cannot compare to heaven, but we're not in heaven now. Here we are. And we need to have heaven on earth in our lives, and God wants us to have it. You see, it would be different if he didn't want us to have it and we had to fight for it. We don't have to fight him for it. We just have to resist the devil who don't want us to have it. And we have to make a stand in our house. We have to voice activate the kingdom of God and tell him, you will not, no weapon formed against my house will prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against me, I get to condemn. You see, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and every time he comes and tells me how unworthy I am, I condemn that. I said, I'm so worthy that God let his son die for me, shed his blood for me, so that I could be saved and blood covered. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Like I said, what do we want in earth? I want everything God's got. I want him to do everything he did in the Bible. I want him to do that in my life. Now, turn with me to Ephesians, the third chapter. We'll go there just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 3. And I think it's also the 20th verse. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able. Say this with me out of your mouth. Let's voice activate this. My God is able. Say this with me. My God is not disabled in anything that concerns me or the world. My God is able. Now let's go to shouting ground. My God is also willing. Oh dear God. That opens up the whole can right there. He's willing. He said, and let him, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Did you see that? So in other words, anything you've ever asked God for, no matter how big it was in your life, he looked at you and said, I'm going to do that, but I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or you could ever think. In other words, when God created the universe, he did not use all of his power. God has never done anything and had to sit down and go, whoo, I ain't got no more left. That's all I had. In other words, when he created, he said, let there be light, let the world have form, let this, let that, everything, what happened? You go read in Genesis, you're going to find, and God said, and in the bottom of that verse, it's going to say, and it was so. You're going to see that verse after verse after verse, and God said, and it was so. Well, guess what? That's how he wants in your life right now. And God said, and it is so. But he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you say, oh, I don't know, Brother Ken. Raising the dead is about as good as it gets. Well, it is for us, but he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, there was a centurion that realized this was the Son of God. And suddenly graves began to burst open. People came out of the graves and went into town, and people saw them in town. Just for the power of the resurrection, graves burst open right then and right there. Our God is so powerful that our minds cannot comprehend exactly all that our God can do. So I'm asking you, precious people, let's come out of that 30 group. That 30 group believes, they say, I believe in salvation. I know God saves. I know he does. But don't you talk to me about that healing stuff. Don't you talk to me about him meeting my needs stuff. Don't you talk about him giving me peace and joy right in the midst of turmoil. Don't you talk about any of that. All I know is he's able to save me, and I am going to heaven. And guess what? Those people are going to heaven. But when they get there, they're going to be the most disappointed people in heaven, because they're going to go, my God, we could have had all of this, and we bought into that 30 group. Brought into that 30 group. Yeah, they're going to heaven. They're going to get there. And when they finally get to heaven, they're going to realize, I could have had everything right here, right there in my life. And I lived way below my privileges because I was told that only salvation was available, and that's the 30 group. Then they go up to the, and then you want to move up to the 60 group. That's the one that says, okay, yeah, I believe in that. I believe that God will save. I believe God will heal. I believe God will mean that. But don't talk to me about that Holy Ghost stuff. Don't talk to me about that Holy Ghost stuff. We have a room in the back. We have a room in the back for the Holy Ghost. I was in a church recently, and the pastor told me, said, now, we don't have exhibits of the Holy Ghost here. Because he said, I don't want to run my babies off. He said, we have a room in the back for the Holy Ghost. I said two things to that pastor. I said, number one, if you don't show them the Holy Ghost, they'll be babies all their lives. And the second of all, I'll be back in that room preaching. He said, what do you mean? I said, I tried to do this job, and if the Holy Ghost is not out here, I'm going where the Holy Ghost is. So I'll be in the back room preaching. But what about this? Then all of a sudden you move up into that 100 level. Up there where God is, you know, where that, like that commercial, be all you can be. Where you're letting God be all that He could be. Where you get to the place, can I say this in this faith church? Y'all are faith church, right? Y'all are word people, right? Did you know that there's a place in God where your life can be drama free? Now, this is what we're going for now. We're going for, there's a place in our life that we can eliminate drama from our life before it ever comes to our house. There is a place. Well, and I know you get the I know people, you don't understand. I've had trouble all my life. I know you've had trouble all your life, but if you're operating at the 100 level, God takes care of the trouble before it comes. He told Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. You know what he's saying for you? If you got a shield in front of you, but they say, Brother Ken, sickness is a part of life. The Bible doesn't support that. It says it's a part of the world. But the Bible says we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. I'm sorry they're sick. I'm sorry that they're sick. I'm sorry that they're broke. I'm sorry that they're destitute. I'm sorry that they're living in fear. I'm sorry that they're living in worry and stress. I'm sorry for them. I'm trying. Come to Life Point Church. We can help you out. But the Word says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So what is that saying? The Word says then we stepped out of the world when we stepped into Him. I'm getting a holy hush in this Pentecostal church. You see, what I'm saying is people say, well, I'll just pray when trouble comes. How about praying and building that shield to where it can't come anymore? This is on the faith limb. Now, you get on out. Come on out here with me, out here on this faith limb. Come on out here. There's a place in God that He can be your shield and your exceeding great reward. Glory to God. If He wants to do exceeding abundantly above everything that we ask or think, don't you think He wants us to be exceeding abundantly above sickness and disease? Or poverty, or anything that's got to do with the curse? How can we be redeemed from the curse and still experience the curse? If we're redeemed from it, that means we are bought out. The price has been paid. Jesus became the curse for us so that we might be made the righteous. Well, He became a curse for us so that we could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is that? That's the power that does exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now, this is the 100. This is what we're working toward, right? All right, go with me to John 17. And then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4, John 17. Now, once again, I know that you're well taught here, and you know this, but I, at the outset, let me just say, this is a prayer that Jesus prays right at the end of his time here on earth, and he prays this prayer for 12 men. This whole chapter, 17th chapter, is a chapter that Jesus devoted to 12 men, the 12 apostles. All right, watch this. Let's start reading here in verse. Let's just start right here in verse number 6. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Can I say this right here? What did Pastor read that verse this morning? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I could preach on that for a month. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, Jesus is trying to tell him, these men that I'm praying for, I want to remind you right off the bat, they have kept your word. Now, if Jesus is our high priest and he's representing us before the Lord God Almighty in the throne room, what do you think he says about us if we keep his word? Now, they from Life Point, they've come to the throne room with a need. Father, I want to remind you, one, number one, they have kept your word. So then, the same benefit that these 12 men are going to get here, guess whose benefit it also is if you keep his word? It becomes your benefit. It says, they have kept your word. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever you've given me are from you. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them. Did you see that, precious people? They did what it said in Mark 4:20. They heard the word. They received the word. And have known surely that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are yours, and all of mine are yours, and all of yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. You missed a chance to shout right there. Hallelujah. He is glorified in us. It's already happened. He's glorified in us. It happened on the inside. But now we're learning to get that glory out into our lives where it can be visibly seen. All right. It says, number 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your own name those that you've given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Well, who was that? Who was the son of perdition? Judas Iscariot. Is that correct? All right. All right, so we're on the same page here. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Can I say, let's just say this out of our mouth. Because I am in Christ, I am not of the world. Whatever the world has, cannot touch me because I'm not of the world. I'm in Christ. He's my shield. He's my great reward. Therefore, the things of the world cannot overcome me at any time if I don't let them. Now, I'm talking about getting to the 100, precious people. I'm talking about getting to the 100. I'm talking about at the 60 level. That's where people say things like, well, I'm on a medication. What I'm doing is I am managing my symptoms. That's good. It's wonderful that we have the technology to manage symptoms. But isn't it better if we never had symptoms to manage? I know this is out there. I've been accused of being out there, but I'm planning on going on out there a little bit farther. Because I don't know about you, but I don't need no more drama in my life. I don't know, you might like drama. We know people that love drama. They have it every day of their lives. They love it. I don't want no more drama in my life. I want to live that quiet and peaceable life that Paul encouraged Timothy. There is a quiet, peaceable life for you that's drama free. All right, let's go. Now, I'm talking about the 100 now. This is a goal that we're going for. I didn't say we were there yet. I'm just saying it's there for us. He wouldn't have said some 30, some 60, and some 100 if he didn't want the 100 to be available. Actually, what God is doing here, you choose. Ever how much you want of me, I'll be as big in your life as you want me to be. You choose. Do you want to put in the effort to go from 30 to 60? Or do you want to put in some more effort to go to 60 to 100? I don't know about you, but I want to see the dead raised. I want to see all of my family live till they just can't live no more. Till their bodies, their heart just can't beat no more. It just wears out because of the curse that's not been taken care of yet. But honey, it's about to meet its end. All right, let's go back to 17. Are y'all doing all right out there? Am I encouraging anybody this morning? Y'all about ready to grab that corn stalk? Let's swing right out over hell and spit right in his eye. Glory to God. All right, it says this. Because they are not, verse 14, they are not of the world, even as I am not. I pray, though, that you wouldn't take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. I don't know about you, but when I read that and I tried to wrap my mind around that, I thought, whoa, I've been living way below my... I have waited until trouble came, and then I would attack it. You see, that's why many people, when they go to the doctor and they get a stage 4 diagnosis, most of them die. Because the devil's already 4 stages ahead of them. And they didn't do what was new. We're going to go to Proverbs 4. I'll read that to you. But they wasn't operating in it before the trouble came. Are you hearing me, precious people? You know, we can't be reactive. If you're going to be walk in the kingdom of God, you need to become proactive and take care of these things before, build a foundation before trouble comes. My daddy always told me this. He said, "Huh, son, always cut your hay when the sun's shining." He'd always say, "Build your house while the weather's good, Ken." So I said, "Dad, are you telling me I've got responsibility?" He said, "However how big you want God to be, that's how big he will be in your life." I tell you what, we'll go to Proverbs 4, but when I get done here, I want to go to Psalm 78. But let me read this first. Look, I got 1,000 things going on right here, right now. I need to calm down just a moment. The Holy Ghost is a genius, and if you'll listen to him, he'll make you look smart. He said, "I pray that you wouldn't take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil." Now, I don't know how you read that, but it tells me that, okay, just take for instance, if we have a, if we have a pit bull and we try to keep them away from people when they come to our house because something bad can happen. But when you keep somebody from something, that means what you kept them from cannot get to them. Now, how do you read that? I mean, I'm correctable. But this is what this is telling me, that there is a place. He said, now, I didn't pray that you would take them out of the world. I pray that you will keep them from the evil that's in the world. Well, when you're kept from something, that means you're separated from it. That don't mean you have to come to him and ask him to heal you or to meet or pay your utility bill or to give you some joy in the midst of all this, what we got, whatever that is out there. It's a train wreck. But that's telling me that it wants me to keep me from it. But that's at the 100, honey. In other words, if he keeps you from it, that means you should never experience the evil. That means that it's grabbing for you every day. It's grabbing for, but it just can't touch you. It just can't attach itself to you. Is there a place for us like this? Am I reading this wrong? Do you believe that that's what this is saying? It said, Jesus said in red, I want you to keep them from the evil. When I saw this, I said, can I preach this? I said, you know, can I preach this? I mean, people are used to having trouble. But they're used to saying, well, the prayer of faith will save the sick. It will. But wouldn't it be better not to have to pray the prayer of faith to save the sick? Because we've already operated and Jesus has removed sickness and disease from us where it can't attach itself to our bodies or anything that's got to do with a curse. We're redeemed from it. The only one thing that we've not been redeemed of, the last enemy that will be destroyed, is physical death. But honey, you've already been delivered from physical death because when your body dies, you don't even know it. You do not even know it. You just move right on. One moment you're here, the next moment you're in the presence of the Lord. I had somebody ask me one time, well, where is it? I said, I don't care. I just want to be there. I don't care where it is. That's my goal. I just want to be in the presence. And if he promised me I'm going to be in his presence, I don't care if he's in Mattoon. I don't care if he's in Champaign. I don't care where he is. I know the Bible promises that when my body dies, I don't experience that death. I just experience going right into the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid of it. Paul said to depart from here would be far better. But then he said, some people down here, you need me right now. I can't go. I want to go, but I got to stay with you knuckleheads. All right, let's go on a little bit farther. Go on a little bit farther. It gets better. It says, I pray that you wouldn't take them out of the world, but you would keep them from the evil that's in the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, if they're not, you're not. Amen? So whatever benefit they got from that prayer, you got it. It says, now here we go. This is what I want to go for. Sanctify them through your truth. You're taught well here. What does sanctify mean? It means set them apart. Can we say another word? Keep them from it. So it says right here, sanctify them, set them apart from the evil of the world through your truth. And then he goes on and it defines what the truth is. Thy word is truth. And here what people will say, Brother Ken, I don't have time to read my Bible. I say, well, do you have time to be healed? Do you have time to be blessed? Do you have time to be peaceful? Do you have time to be successful? Do you have time to become a witness for the Lord and get people saved and help them. Do you have time for that? He said, I'll be as big in your life as your faith will allow me to be. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. So, is there a place in the word that we can get so enamored and so committed to God's word that as we begin to operate according to his word, that it will completely separate us from the evil of the world, and we can live in a place where the evil of the world is not even in existence in our life? Am I reading this wrong? I mean, that's what it said, right? That's the 30, 60, 100. All right. Go with me to Psalm 70. I got 90,000 scriptures going through my mind right now. Go with me to Psalm 78, verse 41. Psalm 78, verse 41. Hallelujah. It says, yea, you are good, sir. Thank you. Yea, they turned their back on the Holy One of Israel. They turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Honey, I'm around Christian people a lot. We go all over the place preaching the word, and all you got to do is sit down and listen to somebody talk for 5 minutes, and you will know where they are. This is why I quit asking people, how you doing? Because when you ask on you say, when you ask that, you gave them the right to tell you how they're doing, so sit down and listen. I learned you don't ask that question anymore. How you doing? You just say, hey, good to see you. Bye-bye. You ask somebody how you doing, they say, well, Brother Ken, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. I've got doom and gloom and agony on me and deep, dark depression, excessive misery. My dog just died. My refrigerator blew up. My wife ran off with my best golfing buddy, and I miss him. Out of the abundance of the mouth. So if you want to find out what's in the abundance of people's minds, all you have to do is just say, how you doing? And they will tell you right there. But they turned their back. Now, are y'all doing all right? Is this okay with y'all? All right. It says, and they turned their back. Now, how is it that we turn our back on God? We turn our back on his word. We turn our back on prayer. We turn our back on attending church. I'm preaching to the band. You're here today. When we don't come, when we don't read our word, or Bibles, when we don't pray, when we don't seek his face, we turn our backs. And look what the result is, that we tempt him and they limited. Now, how can you limit God? Now, when I first read this, when I got saved, I had an old Bible that my mama gave me that I could not throw away. I tried to throw it away 20 times, and I swear it got out of that garbage can and walked back in my room and went right back in that room. And it was that was right there. And when I got to here, because they told me to start in the New Testament, it said read Psalms every day to teach you how to praise the Lord. I said, okay. So when I got here, and I said, no way. No way. I'm not believing that. There is no possible way God could be limited. I have people tell me all the time, Brother Ken, I'm on a limited income. You just gave the devil the right to limit your income. How can you be on a limited income when you serve an unlimited God? Unless you voice activate limited. When you said, I'm limited in my income, you just gave the devil the right to limit your income. And he will dictate to you what you make the rest of your life. Yes, but I'm getting on up there. It don't matter. It doesn't say unless you're 70. It doesn't say unless you're 80. It doesn't say I'll bless you until you get to be 90 and then you're on your own. I ought to just be glad you're still here. Are y'all doing all right? How can you limit the Holy One of Israel? The one who spoke, let there be, and it was so. How can you limit him? Isn't that amazing how his people, and most of the time, the precious people that do this don't even know they're doing it. They're just living because they think this is the world, this is how life is, and when something bad comes, I'll pray about it. I'll believe God to heal me. I'll believe God to deliver me. But the thing is so advanced, they never get out of it. And then they come back to Pastor Matt and go, I told you that faith stuff didn't work. But see, it wasn't the faith stuff that didn't work. It was them that didn't work. All right, let's go on. What did I say I was going next? We're in Psalms. Okay, we got that one. Let's go over here. Pardon? Proverbs. Thank you, ma'am. I get on a roll, forget. Proverbs chapter 4, let's start at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Y'all know where I'm going. I ain't got nothing new here. This book we're preaching on has got some age on it. But we don't need something new. We need something true. Because it's the true that makes us free, not the new. All right, let's watch this. My son or my daughter, attend to my words. What is that saying? The first instruction that we get from God is to attend to his word. First thing. In other words, you can't have what you don't know is available. Attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. 21, there we go. Let them not depart. My goodness. I don't want responsibility on me. Brother Ken, why are you preaching responsibility on people that's hearing the word? I don't like that. You don't like that. I don't like that. But the bottom line is, if we want to live at the 100, this is how we're going to have to do it. Watch this. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Voice activated. You keep them in the midst of your heart. You memorize them and you speak them out of your mouth all day long. Watch this. For they are life unto those that find them. Now let's stop right there just a moment. That word find there, it designates a search. In other words, if we don't search, you know, my kids, every one of my kids wanted, loved to play hide and go seek. And I mean, they would, where I'd be tired, I'd come home, hey, Daddy, let's play hide and go seek. Well, I could never say no. I said, well, let me throw it here. All right, y'all go hide. But you know what? If I'd have went in there and sat on my couch, I'd have never found one of them rascals. I already knew where they were going because they all went to their favorite place every time. But if I hadn't got up and found them, I had to look for them. Honey, listen, the key to the whole life is right here, from Genesis to the maps. And if we'll play hide and go seek, and if we'll seek them out, honey, I'm telling you, well, here's what'll happen. Their life unto those that find them, and what's this? And health to how much of their flesh? What does that mean? Health to all their flesh? Well, wait a minute. That means, I did a word study on that word all. It means all. In other words, his word is health to all. When I found that, I started taking my medicine every single day, 3 times a day. I take my medicine. Himself took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. And with his stripes, I am healed. Amen? Well, if he took them, he bore them. Why am I got them? In other words, if we take them, he's saying, did I not do a good enough job? Did I not take care of that for you? Well, if he took them and he bore them, if he took all our drama, if he bore all of our drama, if he took all of our problems and he bore all of our problems, why are we having them? We're telling Jesus, you didn't do a good enough job. I can handle this better than you can handle it. I got a holy hush right there, didn't I? Hallelujah. Now, what time is it? I don't want to outlive my welcome here. Y'all give me 10 more minutes and we'll go home. Is that all right? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Honey, it's voice activated. I told some people the other day, I said, here's what we do. The Bible says, what things soever we desire, when we pray, believe we receive them, we shall have them. I said, but there's something you got to do before you have it. You got to run your mouth till it comes. And this is why, don't you understand? You do understand now that this is why the devil fights the Holy Ghost. It's not the tongues. He just uses the tongues to confuse us. He's afraid of the power. He knows that if you have that power, that he's no match for you. And that's why he fights it so hard. Well, this is why he fights the confession message, is the fact that he knows that if you start running your mouth and activate this kingdom with your voice, he has no chance in your life. Glory to God. Now, I've got a couple more. Go with me to the sixth chapter of Mark. And let's start in the first verse and let's go down to the number six. Six, chapter 1-6. It said that he went out from thence and came into his own country, which was Nazareth. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? All right. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Can I stop right there just for a moment? You do understand in your life that your family is going to be the hardest people that you're going to witness to. And you just need to pray this for your family sometimes. Father, I pray that you'll send, you're the Lord of the harvest. I pray you send harvest, Lord, laborers into the harvest so that they can talk to my family, so it'll open their eyes. And he could there do no, what? He could do no mighty work? This was Jesus of Nazareth who walked up to a tomb and said three words and defeated thoroughly the best Satan had. He walked up to that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Three words defeated Satan's best, which is death. And he could do there no mighty work, except he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Limited the Holy One of Israel. Wow. Limited Jesus. He could do, when I got here, I was really mad when I first started reading the Bible. I said, no way. No. He may have been limited in the old covenant, but this is he's ushering in the new covenant. I know it wasn't ushered in yet, but he was ushering it in. He was showing people a different way. I said, no way that anybody could limit Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but the Word said he could do there no mighty work except he laid his hands on just a few sick folk and healed them. Isn't that amazing? Now, let's go one more place. Let's go to Luke 5. And let's start about verse 17 there. Luke 5, 17. Are y'all doing okay? All right. I hope you are, because I've just preached myself happy. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day that there, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Can we stop right there just for a moment? Did you see here that the people that came out, he said there were Pharisees and doctors of the law. What did the Pharisees and the doctors of the law want to do to Jesus every single day? They wanted to kill him, right? Isn't it amazing, though, that the power of God was present that day to heal his mortal enemies? So if he wants to heal your mortal enemies, don't you think that he couldn't wait to heal you? Don't you think that he can't wait to bless you, to cause his word to come to pass in your life? If he was going to do that for the enemies, how much more would he do it for his children? All right. I'm sorry, I'm hollering at you. I need to quit. The power of God was present. He said, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tilings with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Then he said, and when he saw their faith. Yeah, it was shouting ground. You missed the ground. You missed the shouting ground right there. And when he saw their faith, can I just encourage you today? All God wants to see, he's saying, just show me a little something. Just show me a little something. Because you cannot hide genuine faith. Because genuine faith will always be associated and accompanied by works. People say, how do I know I'm in faith, Brother Ken? What are you doing? Because when you know, when it gets to that point, honey, you're going to start doing something. It said, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, your sins are forgiven. Let's just stop right there, because then it opens up a can of worms that we don't have time to get into. But here's what he said. He said this, your faith has made you whole. Notice, they were around the house. Couldn't get in the house because there were so many in the house that they were standing around the house. Four people climbed up on the roof, let him down through there. Do you believe that that's the only power he had, was just to heal that one? Don't you think he wanted to heal all the enemies that were around the house, just trying to catch him in something that he said so that they could charge him with something so they could kill him? But the power of God was there, but only one got it. Only one got it, and the rest of the people limited the Holy One of Israel. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? I've decided that if it's in the Bible, I'm going to do my very best. I'm not going to stand up and say, I'm going to say this. I'm going to try my very best to get that in operation in my life. Whatever I have to do to get it in my life, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that in my life. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. So I want to close tonight. I mean today. Let's close in the fifth chapter of Mark. And we'll close it right here. Praise the name of the Lord. We are approaching the holy hour. Verse 25 in Mark 5, and we'll go to 34. A certain woman which had an issue of blood, and had suffered many things of many physicians, but was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came into the press behind. There's other translation that gives you a better understanding of that. A lot of them say the multitude. Some of them say the tumultuous crowd. Some of them say the suffocating crowd. It said that she came into the suffocating, tumultuous crowd and touched the hem of his garment, because she voice activated this. For she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And you know what happened? And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. This was a 12-year hemorrhage that had hemorrhaged for 12 years. That word straightway there, you can interpose that with immediately. She encountered Jesus. She heard something. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look that lady up. And I'm going to say, what was it you heard? What did somebody tell you? What information did they give you that would make you do something so unusual that to go through this mountain of people and all you wanted to do was just touch his clothes? You were so sure that all you had to do was just touch something that was touching him. And said he touched and said immediately, straightway, her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, knowing immediately in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Did you see that? Look, there's just a touch that God's waiting for. There's a touch that he wants his children to touch him with. And it's this same touch that this woman right here, in the midst of thousands of people that were absolutely suffocating him, one woman had faith so strong that it caused her to knock people out. She was weak. She had been losing blood. I've been around people that had lost blood. There's no strength in their bodies. And he said, and his disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you ask who touched. Are you serious, Jesus? Did you seriously just say that? Everybody's touching you. Watch what he said, though. And he looked round about to see her. He knew who it was. Let me tell you something, folks. When you touch the hem of his garment and you got that kind of faith, he already knows who you are. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And here's what Jesus said. He said unto her, don't you ever do that again. Who do you think you are touching me? He didn't say that, did it? It said right there. He said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. I wonder what all them other thousands of people thought after that. Out of all those thousands of people, even his own 12 didn't have faith. Out of all those people, one person got it. The rest of them, do you think that virtue was there to heal everybody? Isn't it amazing that only one got healed? And the reason they got healed was because they knew the unlimited one was passing by, and they knew that they were not going to limit his unlimitedness. And she let him be all he could be in her life simply because she had faith in a word that somebody gave her concerning Jesus. And when she acted on that, her and her alone, she and she alone was the only one that got it. Everybody else went home in the same shape they were. So it's available. It's available. He said, I've prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. It's available to you. I used to love to hear, hey, dinner's on the table. I knocked doors down, people out of the way. Because I knew that everything on that table I wanted, I could have. Amen? Because I had faith in my mama, and I knew she would never cook less than what was needed to be cooked. I had faith in her. Hallelujah. So did you get anything out of this today? Are we ready to grab that corn stalk now? You know, I'm not saying that we need to act like and stick our chest out and tell the devil, you know, well, here's what we need to do. We need to tell him, you are defeated. Jesus defeated you, put you under His feet. And the more I read the Bible, the more I learn what the Word says, and the more I act on the Word, then I put you under my feet, because He's already won that victory. And in His Word teaches me how to get that same victory. And I'm going to put you right where Jesus did. And He's my shield, my exceeding great reward. And He will keep me from the evil of the world if I can go from 30 to 60 to 100. Let's stand up today. Hallelujah.